In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord had just told Simon Peter that he would suffer, that others would dress him, others would lead him to a place where he would not want to go, and others would stretch out his hands. So our Lord told Simon Peter that he would die a martyr's death by crucifixion. And so it came to be. And so Peter wants to know, what about that man? We're nosy creatures. We like to know the future, not only of our own lives, but also of the lives of others. Perhaps he wants to compare his difficulties and struggles with John's, because as sinners, we like to compare what we have to endure with the others, and then to complain if we don't think it is quite fair. But recall that Peter, James, and John were that close inner group of Jesus' disciples. Recall also that Peter, James, John, and Andrew were partners as fishermen. It was Peter and John who followed Jesus into the court of Caiaphas, the high priest. And because John was known to the high priest, he was granted access. Eventually, Peter found his way inside. It was Peter and John who ran to the tomb on Easter morning, John arriving first, Peter entering first. So perhaps Peter just wants to know, and he is generally concerned about the difficulties his friend will face. He doesn't want to hear or to see him suffer. Who wants to see a loved one suffer? Who wants to hear of their agony, their pain, or even of their death? We want them to flourish in this life and to enjoy the gifts that God gives. And so we pray for our loved ones. We want God to send his holy angels to protect them and to guide them in all their ways. And then we even give God examples of what he can do for them. Remove their cancer. Lift their aches and their pains. Heal their sickness. Give them a good job. Let them be successful. Give them good friends. Give them a supportive family. We pray for them not out of envy, but out of love. And the more that we love them, the more that we pray for them. We are concerned for their health and for their well-being, and we know that God alone is the one who can bless them. But we do not sit idly by. The more that we love them, the more that we're willing to help them as well. And we should, for God has called us to this purpose. God works through means. We are the body of Christ, and we should be concerned with one another and assist one another in tangible ways. God has called us to help one another in their hour of need. So God gives us a spouse and children so that we might learn to live for others and not for ourselves. He allows poverty and difficulties to enter our lives or the lives of friends and family so that we might have opportunity to serve others. The more that we love them, the more we are willing to help them, to pray for them, and to do whatever we can to alleviate their trouble. Look at our prayer list found on the back of our bulletins. The healthy, the strong, and the successful are not found there. But the weak, the struggling, those who are going through a difficult time, God wants his church to live as one, not as individuals, to be concerned with one another. And so he sends difficulties into various people's lives. We want to ask God, why would you allow this into that person's life? But his response is the same as it is to Peter. What I do is none of your business. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are good and perfect, even if they cause a tear or two. To us, God's ways look arbitrary. One has cancer, another doesn't. One is wealthy, another isn't. One suffers martyrdom, another dies of old age. One struggles throughout his entire life, another has a relatively easy life. God blesses one differently than he blesses another. We see no rhyme or reason for it. We try to figure it out, We try to maintain some control while that person had a healthier diet or a healthier lifestyle. But what was considered a healthy diet when I was a child is no longer true today. And so we are left only with the word of Christ. You follow me. Your earthly life is not based on merit or works, but it's based on the grace of God. Grace is your confidence of salvation, and grace is the reason why you have something in this life. Faith recognizes that. And so faith folds its hands and prays before a meal, whether it's a bowl of cereal or a steak. Faith wakes up in the morning and prays to God, whether the night was restful or not. Faith prays at the end of the day, regardless of how the day has gone. For faith recognizes that it lives underneath the grace of God. And so it doesn't just ask God for things, but faith thanks God for what he has given to it throughout that day. We live underneath the gracious providence of God, and he gives as he sees fit. As he says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And so he chose Abel, not Cain, Jacob, not Esau, fishermen, not Pharisees, Mary, and not some other pious young virgin from the line of David. He blessed them in this life and used them in a unique way, simply by grace. He is obligated to no one, but he pours out his blessings as he sees fit. Peter would like to know the details, but the only answer is grace. Cain, Esau, and the Pharisees hated God for his grace. They thought they were better, and so they became jealous and envious. Jealousy is never a good thing. Jealousy is really anger toward God, because God is the one who gives as he sees fit. Jealousy thinks that I deserve something more than that individual, that I am more worthy of that particular blessing. Jealousy fails to recognize that if God were fair, then our bodies would be constantly in pain, our skin would be torn, and our bones broken. If God were fair, we would be in constant distress. Our food would lack good substance, nutrients, and good taste. And our clothing would be sparse and useless. And our homes, our families, and our possessions would constantly be in threat from others. Our whole life is a gift from God's grace. So let us not look to that green grass on the other side. It never is any greener. Jesus won't tell Peter John's fate, and we do well not to compare to others. Who's to say that John had an easier life than Peter, or that he was more blessed than Peter, simply because he lived longer on this earth? That would be a very narrow way of viewing God's grace. Yes, one suffered martyrdom and one was exiled to the island of Patmos for his faith. One entered heaven some 30 years prior to the other. You tell me who is more blessed. So let us not judge the grace of God by human standards. Let us not think that health and a long life are the only metric. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. So he gives what is best for each individual, and we simply follow Christ with whatever he has given. You don't have the trials and difficulties of others, and they don't have yours. Your life can be quite hard, and so is theirs. You have many blessings, and so do they. Not one are the same. Even two husbands have different wives with different gifts, abilities, and needs. God blesses us each differently according to our needs. So no need to compare. We all get through this life only by the grace of God, whether it is 1 year of life or 100 years. So we pick up our cross and we simply follow Christ. And where you can assist someone else and relieve their suffering, then we do it. But we are not to be envious of them. The Lord knows what you will need, and he will send exactly what you need, so you live by faith now and make it out of this world and to his heaven. And so that may be prosperity, health, and an easy life. That may also be financially struggle, deal with chronic ailments, or that you die at a young age. Just perhaps the Lord knows what he is doing with you. Just perhaps the Lord is being gracious to you. I submit that he is. For like John, you too are the disciple whom Jesus loves. It does not feel like love when tears stream down our cheeks, but the Lord Jesus loves you. He was born for you. The Word is flesh for your salvation, and your name was inscribed on the palm of his hand with iron nail. His blood flowed from his side to cleanse you. St. John saw it, and he wrote about it so that you also might believe that Jesus is your Savior. So by grace, heaven is secure. And by grace, your life right now is a gift from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.